Hey, welcome to a new episode of Skin in the Game. This is your host, John Simperman, with my co-host,
Tim O'Shea from the Buffalo News.
Tim, how are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. We're back yet again to one of our favorite topics, baseball.
Well, you know, summers are only so long up here.
We got to squeeze in every bit of baseball that we can, and we are doing a good job of that.
Yeah, you know, it's safe to say, you know, football and hockey and everything else will be back in the news. But, you know, we're going to focus on baseball. We're actually going to focus on minor league baseball and some of the fun things happening there. We're going to be bringing in Rob Perez, who is the general manager of the Tri-City Chili Peppers. Who are you ready for this, Tim?
Tell me.
They also invented cosmic baseball. Glow-in-the-dark baseball.
Incredible idea.
So think Blue Man Group meets baseball. We're going to talk to Rob a little bit about where minor league baseball is and how cosmic baseball evolved.
Yeah, and John, and where it fits into the landscape of entertainment sports or improvisational sports, right? You know this will come up. The Harlem Globetrotters are the pioneers in this.
Yep.
Bill Veeck, the great baseball innovator and marketer and owner, who really showed how you can take a regular baseball game and turn it into, you know, a very holistic form of entertainment, right? But then, of course, is it fair to say that this is your favorite sports franchise right now, the Savannah Bananas?
Well, it's not only mine. They're filling up football stadiums with 85,000 people.
Which leaves a whole lot of baseball stadiums devoid of, you know, banana ball.
That's right.
Right. So
that's
maybe
right.
Cosmic ball can fill
right,
that gap.
Right, right. You know, maybe there are other cosmic sports.
Oh, I think there could be. Yeah, we'll get into that.
Just real quickly before
the marketer's mind is turning here.
What sport do you think would glow in the dark be the most entertaining?
You know, I want to say hockey, but I actually wonder too, what about something like, I don't know, swimming, or would lacrosse be safe and glow in the dark? I mean, could you do that and okay about it? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm going to simplify it with, how about tennis? Okay, it'll be like the old game of Pong, right? Illuminate the ball, illuminate the racket. That might be an easy one to translate.
I'm thinking too about video game culture here and, you know, just like people getting used to looking at a screen and being engaged by not just the action, but the aesthetics of it.
So stay tuned for our interview with Rob Perez to talk a little cosmic baseball. But before that, you know, there is some news that we all need to get caught up on the business side of sports. And there's a couple things here, Tim, that I thought we should bring our listeners up to speed on. And one is the WNBA, three new franchises, which will now bring the total teams in the league up to 18.
And people in the Midwest and the Northeast, John, should be, I imagine, are really excited about this. So we've got Cleveland, Detroit, and Philadelphia, which for listeners out there, two of those three are John's cities. He worked in Philadelphia. He worked and grew up in Cleveland.
That's right. And that's right. And by the way, Cleveland did have an original WNBA team, the Cleveland Rockers, who unfortunately, after 7 years, they decided to disband that team. Dan Gilbert and his group, now at the Cavaliers, are investing in the new franchise and a brand new millions upon millions dollar training facility in the heart of the city. I think they have the resources. They have the backing and they have the talent to really make it successful this time around.
And John, you know the Philadelphia market, and I'm guessing you've got a strong familiarity with Detroit as well. Best you can tell, why those two cities?
You know, I think it comes down to the ownership and the infrastructure of those organizations and the investment teams, in this case, Dan Gilbert and his team, and what's happening in Philadelphia. They're building a new arena for the 76ers, so there'll be a new home. They need an additional tenant in that home. They need more events. They need more programming. So that's where this team fits in. Each of these franchises was purchased for $250 million. Now, almost maybe 3 years ago, Golden State purchased their franchise for $50 million. So we've had a five-time appreciation of franchise values in the WNBA.
Which is incredible, really, when you think about it. But then I'm also looking at it this way, and this feels like a pretty good investment. And this is why the Lakers were just valued in a sale at $10 billion, right?
That's
right. And not to necessarily compare the Lakers franchise to much of any other franchise in any sport out there. They really do stand alone. But if the Lakers are worth $10 billion, it feels like $250 million for a WNBA franchise. You hold on to that, your valuation is going to exponentially increase.
It will, yeah, as long as the momentum continues, the talent continues. Yeah, I still think there is absolutely upside for the WNBA. Interesting on that Lakers sale is 2 weeks before that, the Boston Celtics were sold for $6.1 billion. And as you know, there's always rivalry, especially in basketball, between L.A. and Boston. So L.A. now is back on top. With
Congrats
its,
to the Lakers.
What's also interesting is that Mark Walter Group owns the Dodgers, and they've been pretty darn successful the last few years. They're also the investment group behind the Professional Women's Hockey League. And they've been a real, obviously, the foundation of helping get that league off the ground. So I do think the Lakers are in good hands with this new infusion of resources.
I want to put you on the spot, John, with a question. If you had, or you were the close advisor to someone who had $1 or $2 billion and you had to invest it, what sport would you look to?
You know, and unfortunately, we might just be a few weeks late, but international soccer, and you're seeing the celebrities out there, the Ryan Reynolds of the world. European soccer is getting major infusions from U.S. investors. And part of that is, you know, that sport is unbelievably popular in Europe, right? There's still so much ground that they can grow, especially on this side of the pond. So soccer is still, right now, I think, a great, great investment.
And are you thinking soccer broadly? I mean, you said European soccer, but can I extend that to soccer in the United States is very much worth looking at, too?
I would think so, again, because there's so much untapped fandom, right? You're starting to see it with Major League Soccer. You're starting to see it with USL. You're starting to see the growth. So, yeah, I think there's still potential there for sure.
I'm going to throw a notion out there that might just be because of where we're sitting. We're sitting in Buffalo, New York, where the sport of lacrosse is huge, not only in a participation level, you know, with youth, but also professional lacrosse. The Buffalo Bandits are, you know, perennial National Lacrosse League champions. But I do wonder if there's a scaled upside with that, too. It's not going to be as big as soccer. We know that. I wonder if that's a sport that is poised for scaled growth.
Yeah, and I think, you know, my marketing hat is, as long as you've got that grassroots participation growth, because those participants turn into fans, those fans turn into viewers, and then, you know, everything starts to blossom from there. So if they can keep growing, yeah, there's more upside.
Following that line of thinking, too, flag football has massive, massive participation, especially by young women. That's got to be a pro sport sometime. I wonder, we'll come back to this one because we got to get to our guest, but you know, in the game of supposing and projecting.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm gonna throw lacrosse and flag football out there as the ones to keep an eye on.
I would agree. And you know something? Keep your eye on glow-in-the-dark sports.
That's absolutely.
That's going to be my segue to our upcoming guest, who is Rob Perez, is the general manager of the Tri-City Chili Peppers, who are also invented a new game, glow-in-the-dark baseball. So stay tuned.
I'm excited to see, like, she said this, well, he said that.
The truth will come out.
Wondering what the buzz is? What's the hot goss? Whatever it is, we're talking about it on Group Chat, your weekly connection to the unpredictable, weird, and wonderful world of pop culture, from film, music, theater to food, blockbusters, and beyond, every week with Tiffany Bentley and her revolving panel of pop culture enthusiasts. Listen to Group Chat on Fridays at 10 a.m. and Saturdays at noon on BTPM NPR.
I'm very excited.
Hey, welcome back to Skin in the Game. This is John Semperman, and I'm thrilled to introduce our guest today, Rob Perez, general manager of the Tri-City Chili Peppers. Hey, Rob, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for the invite, John. We greatly appreciate it and the opportunity to talk about the Chili Peppers and cosmic baseball.
It's baseball season, and Tim O'Shea and I are big baseball fans. Over the last few weeks on Skin in the Game, we've been talking baseball. So I'm really was thrilled when you accepted our invitation to join us. Can't wait to get into a little bit of cosmic baseball. But first, if you could give our listeners just a little background on yourself and also the Tri-City Chili Peppers.
Yeah, absolutely. So with the Tri-City Chili Peppers, we are a summer college wood bat team. We are a member of the Coastal Plain League, which is a league dedicated to college players, giving them a chance to practice their skills, get more experience, and for those that stand above the rest, maybe, just maybe get drafted by a major league team over the summertime. And the league has teams in Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia. The Chili Peppers, our first season actually was cut short or erased altogether by COVID. And so we started the year after that. So this is our fifth season actually playing in the Coastal Plain League. And we are located in Colonial Heights, Virginia, which is just about 25 minutes south of Richmond, Virginia. And we play at Shepherd Stadium, which is an older baseball stadium. It's a great environment because it's nestled right in the middle of a neighborhood. And so families absolutely love coming to Shepherd Stadium with their kids to check out our ball games each season. For myself, I like to tell people that I took the long way around to get where I am today. My first career field was actually education. It took me 1 year to realize that was not for me. As a college student, I was involved heavily on college campus as a student organization president. And so I really loved that experience. So I decided after that year of teaching seventh grade that I wanted to go back working on college campuses. I decided I want to go someplace that I really want to be and always wanted to be since I was a boy. And that was Arizona. Why? There is a baseball connection. My favorite team does spring training there, the Chicago Cubs. And so I decided I'm going to jump at the opportunity. And I got an offer from Arizona State University. And I stayed there for 11 years, moving my way up the ranks. But ultimately, I did get a little bored. And I decided to move along to a new university, get a new experience. And I went over to the University of Georgia. And I was there for a short time. And then it finally hit me. I needed something more in my life, something more exciting, something that tapped into creativity. And so I actually started looking into being an entertainment talent manager. I moved out to the LA area because I was doing an entertainment talent management internship. After that internship, stayed on and was there for a while before COVID hit and shut down the industry. And it helped me realize I should probably finally get around to that transition into the sports field that I actually had been thinking about. I did some interviews with a few different teams, and the Chili Peppers offered me the opportunity to do an internship as an assistant general manager. After my internship was over, I got the opportunity to come on board full-time as a director of operations and account executive for group outings. And then in August of 24, I got the opportunity to transition into the role of general manager. And so that is what I'm doing now, and that is how I got to this point.
Hey, Rob, it's Tim O'Shea. Thank you so much for joining us. I got to tell you, a couple of weeks ago, John sent me a message and said, hey, do you want to talk cosmic baseball and Skin in the Game? And that might be the easiest yes that I ever gave him. So we've been really looking forward to this conversation. Clearly, you are a guy who has an open mind. And I mean, going from teaching seventh grade English to higher ed to Hollywood to not only baseball, but cosmic baseball. That's a heck of a journey, man. So I appreciate you coming on and sharing it. I've got to ask you, where does cosmic baseball come into your story and the Chili Peppers story? Tell us about that for anybody out there who's not seen the game or not YouTube this.
Okay. So back during the 23 season, we had a theme night, a neon night. It was actually a night in honor of a baseball player that our owner, Chris Martin, had the opportunity to coach. And that player, unfortunately, had passed away as a result of a drunk driving incident in which he was hit head on and lost his life. So we held that night to honor him and do a fundraiser for scholarship opportunities on his behalf. And because he was a very fun individual, his family and Chris thought neon nights and giving away glow-in-the-dark items would fit well. And so we did that. And as fans were walking around enjoying the neon items we were giving out and how they were glowing, Chris had looked around and he wondered, how effective is this really? Because you're in a stadium at night where the lights are still on, So how effective is glow in the dark? So he thought, what if we turned off the lights and played in a black light or glow in the dark type of environment? And after mentioning this idea to some of our local partners, they connected him with Federated Lighting of Virginia. And they were intrigued by the idea and went into research and development mode in the off season. And ultimately that winter, we had received a prototype of a stadium grade UV black light. And so at that point, that's when we realized this could actually happen. We could actually pull this off at Shepherd Stadium. And so from there, Chris had started having conversations with our suppliers who created our fan merchandise, our uniforms, our bats, had conversations with a major sporting company about creating UV reactive baseballs. And they would send us samples in the off season. And in the springtime it was, we would hold up the items to the light in our office and see, does this react? Does it not react? How do these colors work together to create a vibrant illumination that fans would really get into? And we brought in some of the fans that had come out to our games and we told them about this concept and we got their feedback to see what they would think about it. And then we showed them the items that had been sent to us that would be UV reactive, and they were just blown away by the concept. And at that point, we decided to move forward and add 4 Cosmic Baseball games to our 2024 schedule.
So, Rob, you launched this first at Shepherd Stadium, was kind of the first debut of Cosmic Baseball. And then where did it go from there?
Yeah. So after June 1st, the first Cosmic game, fans started posting the videos. And ESPN actually did a special segment on SportsCenter that night dedicated to Cosmic Baseball. We came in the next day and our phones were ringing off the hook. Fans were actually crashing our ticketing website because they wanted tickets. And the other 3 games we had sold out within hours of each other on that day. And so fans also requested more games. And we weren't for sure how many tickets we were talking about. And we put up a lottery request. And fans had requested an additional 20,000 tickets.
Wow.
Now for us, this is amazing because Shepherd Stadium, we sell out at 2,400. So we knew we could do more games. So we added 2 more games. Those games sold out. And it was at that time which minor league teams had started reaching out to us, asking us if we would take this on the road in 2025. And after doing a little bit of research and discussion amongst our team and doing some site visits, we ultimately said, yes, we would do this. And we narrowed it down to 7 teams. And we could have added more, but we knew this is our first tour. So it's very much a learning year for us to make sure we understand how to effectively execute a tour and doing Cosmic Baseball on a larger scale. So we decided on those teams. We worked with the host sites and their staff to look at promotion of the Cosmic games happening at their stadiums. And then we launched the lottery system because people still had to sign up for the opportunity to get tickets at each of the sites. And then eventually we launched into ticket sales. And at this point, we are able to do 2 sold out games at each location that we are going to this summer. So that has been an awesome response to fans from a larger regional area.
I have so many questions, and I want to, Rob, start with this one. How do you train the players to do this? I mean, do you have to train the players to essentially like play glow-in-the-dark baseball?
Absolutely. And that was something we actually did before we even launched our first game, because how do we make sure that a player who's standing on the field when he's batting can actually see the ball coming in? And how can the fielders, how do they feel when they're reacting to a ball that's hit their way? Is this something they're going to be able to see? And so we'd practice with them under the black lights. We adjusted the black lights to make sure the stadium was covered and that dead spots or dark spots didn't exist. We were able to make it a safer experience for the players. And I will say that I can actually see the baseball better during Cosmic Baseball than I can a regular game at night, because the ball is that reactive and stands out under the black lights in the night.
So the ball is glow in the dark, the bat, the gloves, the uniforms, just kind of paint this picture for our listeners.
Absolutely. So yeah, so all the player uniforms are reactive and we have a variety of colors within those uniforms. We have 2 teams, the Cosmic Chili Peppers and a brand new team we introduced this year called the Glowmojis. And so everything is reactive that they're wearing usually. The gloves, not quite yet. That's one of the harder pieces to actually get to be reactive. There are certain elements like lacing and lettering on the gloves that can be reactive. So we're still doing a little bit more work on that aspect. But the bats, the baseball, the bases themselves, UV reactive powder we can sprinkle on the ground, that is all reactive. And then behind you, you have the fans in their cosmic shirts, jerseys, hats, and other apparel that's also UV reactive. And so once we do the transition to turning on the black lights, that is an incredible visual sight to be a part of and to see in pictures and video as well.
Wow.
Without giving away too many secrets, and this is something where we have to educate the fans, is that for the first part of the game, we do it without the black lights, because black lights obviously don't work when the sun is out. And so we do about an hour of what you might consider traditional baseball, but we change up the rules of that part and make it more fun and entertaining for the fans. And then once it's 30 minutes after the sunset, that's when we turn on the black lights with the dramatic transition. And it is awesome to see everybody's reaction to the special effects that we have as a part of this experience. And there are, let's see, at least three or four different special effects that go into this experience beyond the black lights.
Now, Major League Baseball has been making rule changes to obviously make the game quicker, make the game a little more exciting for the next generation of fans. I'm interested to know, Rob, what other rule changes that Cosmic Baseball has?
You know, actually for us, we also do look at the time in between pitches and the transition time between half innings, because we want to keep the action ongoing for the fans. We really don't want that dull, dead period going on for too long. So we do look at the timing piece. We also look at how do we make it more entertaining for the fans? So there is one inning in which we usually play baseball a little backwards. So if the batter gets a hit, rather than running to first, he's got to change his mind there and actually run to third and run the bases backwards. And sometimes, because we're all in that habit of running to first, you sort of head off that way. Then you realize, oh, man, I have to run the other way. And so you have to head towards third.
Hey, by the way, Rob, when I was coaching Little League Baseball, you know, those five-year-olds would automatically run to third base anyway.
They would be all set for Cosmic Baseball.
Right in.
Yeah. Rob, how much education do you find you have to give? I mean, not only to fans and players, but other teams too.
Yeah. So when I have been meeting with teams, I do have to educate them about how Cosmic Baseball works. Because one of the first questions that I always get asked is, so how do the black lights work? Do you install them in other people's stadiums to make the environment black light? And the answer is no, we don't install them in the stadiums. We actually have lighting units that we put within the stadiums, and the lights raise up on telescopic poles. Those lights run off of batteries. So we are never invasive in anybody's electrical system. And then we'll put some additional lights, as well as our special effects machines, on the roof of the stadium as well, just to make sure, again, every angle is covered within the stadium. And so I think that alleviates the concerns that we might have to go in and take out all the lights and all the light stands and put in our own lights. That would be a pain to be able to do that. So we've made it a lot easier for us, as well as the host sites, with the black lights.
Yeah, that's kind of one of those practical things. And I don't mean to make it small, it's huge, but you know, those practical big details that people may not think about until you're there. Here's another one, Rob. You know, people listening to this may not, again, realize that you are playing in a collegiate summer league, not a traditional minor league baseball league. To me, that seems like a key detail here, because if the Tri-City Chili Peppers were part of minor league baseball, you wouldn't necessarily have the flexibility to do this. Am I right?
That is correct. So the players that we had playing Cosmic Baseball, you know, they understood it was an exhibition game. Sometimes we would use temporary players to do that, because we obviously don't want to hurt a college player and then try and send them back to their school injured because of something that happened. So this year, the players that play with us are considered professionals. So no longer college players. And they are guys who, some have played with the Chili Peppers when they were in college. Others have played in the minor leagues. Some have gotten a brief taste of the majors. And some played with that other team in yellow. And I think you know which team that is.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that a team we do not name?
You know, we'll name them. They're out there of the, you know, produce variety. But it's only because of their success that we're actually able to do this.
Yes, yes, of course. No, of course. Okay, tell us more about that then. To be honest, I didn't realize that. So your players are considered professionals, as you said. Tell us about the recruitment process, what you look for in Chili Peppers players.
Yeah, so we're definitely looking for guys who can be creative and very athletic and who could adjust to playing in the black lights. And we also looked for guys who had a social media presence, hence our pursuit and landing of Austin Schultz, one of the top baseball influencers out there on social media. We knew that that was going to be a way for us to continue to grow Cosmic Baseball across social media platforms. We looked for guys who had a distinct personality and could bring that personality to the field and use it to have fun with the fans as well. And also looking for guys who were hungry for an opportunity to continue to prove themselves while also having fun doing it as well.
Well, that's great. So is Tri-City really kind of hosting two teams? Do you have the dedicated collegiate team and then what I would call this barnstorming team for the Cosmic Baseball, or is it one and the same?
As I usually tell people I interview when they want to work with us at our tour sites, we are two things at this point. We are the summer college team, the Tri-City Chili Peppers, and then we have our sports entertainment area, which is where Cosmic Baseball falls into play with the Cosmic Chili Peppers and the Glowmojis.
Oh, that's great. Well, so Tim O'Shea, who's still trying to make his big baseball comeback, I think the glow emojis, Tim, is you've got potential here.
Yeah, do you have a note? I mean, do you need a first baseman?
We could. Are you a slugger? Can you hit lots of home runs?
Oh, how do I answer? If the ball is big enough and hey, I see it well enough, which it sounds like I would.
Yeah.
I think you should give me a tryout.
There you go. There you go.
A part of Cosmic Baseball is actually the home run derbies we include in the game. We do that every inning in the blacklight portion, and that is an incredible experience to see. So far, one of my favorites has been what we did in Durham during the blacklight portion. In their outfield, there are buildings across the way from the outfield. And so some of the home run balls were actually hitting those buildings. That was a pretty awesome thing to see and see the fans react and the kids chasing those home run balls trying to get them.
You and Tim were alluding to the Savannah Bananas, and mm-hmm. there's obviously, you know, they have wind, you know, behind their sails, lots of momentum, introducing people to the game. And by the way, the Savannah Bananas didn't invent, I guess what I was also term kind of improv sports. Oh, there's been a mm-hmm. franchise around called the Harlem Globetrotters that actually, yeah. I would say, started this. And to the Savannah Bananas' credit, they've been very successful the last few years. I see what you guys are doing. It's super exciting. There's, you know, getting the younger generation involved in the game. Believe it or not, it might be Cosmic Baseball that could be this child's first baseball game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I love that. What do you think about potential of other cosmic sports? Could this, I'm just brainstorming here because Tim and I here on Skin in the Game always brainstorm ideas. Could this translate to flag football? Could this translate to basketball? Where could this glow ball go?
Well, I'll say yes and yes. And I'll tell you about the discussions we've already had about that and what we've done so far. But first, thank you for the throwback to the Harlem Globetrotters. They were here in our Colonial Heights area in the spring, and we went and saw them. And that was a great experience to see, to me, sort of like the innovators
exactly.
of the sports entertainment area. And so it actually gave us a few ideas as well about how we continually engage the fans and be creative out on the field with what we do. So it was great being there. But for other sports, we actually have a new entity called Cosmic Sports, in which the goal of that is to look at how do we work with other sports leagues to bring a cosmic experience to them. With one of those leagues, we already did that. So during Super Bowl week in New Orleans this past February, we actually did a cosmic flag football experience with the NFL. And so Toyota was the major sponsor of that experience. And that really was our first trial run with our new blacklight system. And so it was a good experience for us. The kids enjoyed it and it let us know, yeah, we could do this. We could actually expand to other sports. So we've got the football. After that experience, additional flag football teams contacted us about also doing cosmic flag football experience. So we may be looking into that more. Our owner, Chris Martin, had been in contact and discussions with the Toledo Walleye hockey team about a cosmic experience. So there could be something on the horizon there. I've had a chance to meet with a team from the NBA G League about a cosmic experience, and also mentioned the cosmic experience as a possibility to an executive of a WNBA team. So there is a great possibility of cosmic being in other sports. It's a matter of what we're able to work out with them and having the staff to be able to do that.
No, that's great. And I coach flag football, and it's an exciting sport all on its own for the kids who are playing it. So yeah, to add, they add in something with flair and excitement, even just for special events, whether it's correct, kids or pros, that's a lot of fun. It'll be exciting to see what you guys do. Before we go any further, Rob, I do want to ask you about Princess and Pirates Night and, you know, and some of the other promotions you do outside Cosmic Baseball. I see Stupid Human Tricks is coming up. There's a whole list. Give us a little bit of insight into what you're doing to make just the regular games extra entertaining for fans.
Absolutely. So from the beginning, even when I joined the Chili Peppers back in 22, the focus was on how do we elevate the fan experience? How do we make it focused on fun and entertainment? And that was our goal. If the fans left and they forgot who won or lost, but they know they had a blast and they're coming back, then we did our job. And so we take a look at these theme nights and figure out how we can incorporate them into the entertainment activities we do with the fans around the stadium or out on the field or in our marketing as well. Princess and Pirates Night, we first did this a couple of years ago. It was just Princess Night, and we had lots of young ladies dressing up as princesses, and we hired performers to come in as well who are adult princesses, and it was fun. The kids enjoyed it. And so we added the Pirates component last year. That went well too. And so we take a look at how can we be creative and different with the experience that we're offering to fans, helping them to have a good time. Because admittedly, as a baseball fan, going back to 1984, when I first fell in love with the Chicago Cubs, sometimes baseball is a little boring, so we need to spice it up a little at times. And that's what we do with the Chili Peppers. We spice things up and do what we can to make it a different and fun experience, particularly for the family. As I mentioned, our stadium is right in the middle of a neighborhood, and that's one of the things that families love about our stadium. Being able to walk around, have their kids run around our kids zone area and play in the inflatables with their friends. And that's something we heavily focus on, is the family experience and making sure that we are providing something that the family will want to come back to again and again. And so we offer a variety of theme nights throughout the season, from the Princess and Pirates Night, the Superheroes Night, Military Appreciation, as well as a variety of other theme nights coming up.
That's great, Rob. And when you talk about, you know, affordability, just give us a handle on, you know, a family of four going to the event, having a couple of beverages, having a couple of dogs. What, as compared to a major league experience, you know, how affordable is it for that family to attend?
It can be very affordable. One of our most popular ticket plans this year is a four-game ticket plan. And included in those packages is one Cosmic Baseball game, one fireworks game, and then two of our theme nights. And the fans can pick the schedule of the ticket plan that works best with what they have available over the summertime. They can also add on whether it's going to be general admission seating or reserve seating. They can add a meal voucher to their ticket as well. And so it's a great way for them to bring their family for a little fun, have a little dinner so they don't have to worry about cooking that at home or trying to find something on the way to the ballpark. You know, from your traditional cheeseburgers and hot dogs to our pulled pork nachos. We make our pulled pork in-house, I will say, by the way, and it's quite delicious.
Or I would expect nothing less.
Double bacon pimento burger.
Dude, I mean, you know, I was going to come for the Cosmic Baseball, but yeah, now the food sounds
we always,
like
we
a
always
good
segue to food, but I'm looking at my co-host Tim O'Shea, and maybe a month back here on Skin in the Game, we had a pretty deep conversation on what was the old Penn League here in New York
Penn League.
And then the evolution of now Collegiate League with
Will Bordenwerper, wrote a great book called Homestand, which Rob, if you haven't read it, would absolutely recommend. He followed the Batavia Muck Dogs for an entire season.
And there were a lot of trials and tribulations. I think the Muck Dogs and I think the team in Elmira are doing well, but man, they have to work hard every night, even in that Woodbat season, to make ends meet. How's the Coastal League? How is the league there faring?
We're doing quite well. I think amongst all the summer leagues, which last count, if I can recall correctly, there were probably 35 to 40 summer leagues across the U.S. and some in Canada as well. So many opportunities for college players to still work on their skills and maybe be seen by scouts. But for us, I think we're one of the top three leagues across the country. And it's a great opportunity for the players as well as the teams to raise the bar when it comes to the fan experience. And so I think some of our teams within the Coastal Plain League are doing that exactly, from the theme nights they offer to having pregame concerts as well with upcoming artists. And so it's a great opportunity for our players as well as our staff and the local community to have a great affordable experience and something consistent that they can go to or their kids can go to as well.
This sounds, Rob, like something that used to happen and still does happen in what I'm, again, calling traditional minor league baseball. And for people out there, what I mean by that is minor league teams that are affiliated with a major league team and have professional, typically drafted young players playing for them, right? And so I think back over the decades, Bill Veeck, you know, is probably the original, you know, viral marketer before social media even existed with, you know, the mm-hmm. incredible things he did for major and minor league teams, right? And we've seen that over the years in minor league baseball, but now we're seeing it in collegiate league baseball. We're seeing it in independent leagues too. Has the contraction of minor league baseball that major league baseball, you know, instituted over the past few years given more opportunity for, you know, not only for Tri-City, but for any teams in your league to do more in terms of marketing and, you know, providing like that full entertainment experience?
Absolutely. It's opened a huge door for what I somewhat consider the smaller leagues or the smaller teams. It's a great and affordable opportunity for families to go out there rather than figure out, can they go to just one major league game this summer or one NFL game or one NHL game? They're looking at their pockets. Sometimes, you know, the economy affects that. And what can they really afford? And where can they get the most bang for the buck at this point? And I think it is the smaller leagues. They're still going to have a great experience, see some upcoming stars, as well as not break the bank at this point. And so it's a great opportunity for all of us to figure out how we up the experience that we offer to the fans.
John, I'm thinking back to our conversation with Will Bardenwerper about his summer in Batavia, where I think he paid offhand maybe a couple $100 for a season ticket. It might have only been $100.
I think it was $99.
Thank you. Yeah, there you go. $99. Mm-hmm. And Rob, this was interesting. Will is a writer based in Pittsburgh, and he took his young son to a Pirates game. He was $150 in before they even sat in their seat. So that's tickets, yep, parking, a beer, and a soda.
That's the difference. Yeah, that's the difference. So I want to get back to and kind of wrap things up a little bit here, talking about, you know, you teased a little bit of future plans. What should we be looking for? Where may you be come 26? Yeah, give us a preview.
All right. So, you know, this year we're doing 7 locations for our 25 tour, and we've learned a lot so far. And so our goal was to learn and then build a tour in 26 that is much larger. So right now our goal is to get up to at least 30 locations for 2026. And so that means we would be playing Cosmic Baseball every weekend from mid-March to early October. It's going to take us everywhere if all goes well with final negotiations from the West Coast, Southwest, South, Southeast, Midwest, and the Northeast. And that does include maybe a couple of stops in New York, Northern New York.
Okay, you're getting warmer. You're getting warmer.
Yes. You know, if all goes well, maybe you'll see us in Buffalo, maybe Rochester.
Well, that would be great. Can you give us, now we're not going to hold you to it because I know there's lots of discussion still to be had, but can you give us an idea of whether it's this summer or next summer, some of the markets and some of the venues that you're locked in on?
Yeah. So, I mean, we're definitely looking at markets within New York right now, Michigan, Indiana, Ohio, Texas, Florida, Arizona, Nevada, Utah, California, Minnesota. So we're hitting a lot of the major markets at this point. And so that is going to be for the 2026 tour. And I will say that we are very much also open to going to major league stadiums and starting down that road. And we have talked with one major league team so far. So Hopefully, that's exciting. Maybe have another one or two discussions coming up.
Yeah, so. Well, that's exciting. There's also a lot of our listeners are from the beautiful city of Toronto, and might be easy to get that venue dark even at 12 noon. So there's an opportunity.
Press one button.
There you go.
That's exciting. You know, I speak for all of our listeners here on Skin in the Game. I think you would have a very engaged and enthusiastic fan base here in this neck of the woods.
Okay. We definitely are looking forward to the possibility of what's to come in 2026.
Well, we'll be there. And, you know, like I said, if you need a first baseman, I'm your guy. If you need a slugger, I think you might want to go with John.
No. My cosmic days are over, but I'm looking forward to experiencing it firsthand. And hey, Rob, to you and the entire Tri-City Chili Peppers organization, you know, we really appreciate your enthusiasm. Love the fact that you're putting a different spin on the game. And for me, it really comes down to it helps bring new people into the sport. And whether it's banana ball, whether it's cosmic baseball, whatever it is, it brings new people into the experience. And I love the fact that you're doing everything you can to make it affordable and family friendly. So kudos to you and the organization, and keep up the great work.
Thank you so much for having me on. We appreciate this opportunity to talk more about cosmic baseball and let more people know that we are out there and we are coming.
You got it. Thanks, Rob. We'll be back right after this.
Corey here with the Compact Civics Expansion Pack.
America is such a big, wide, awesome place. And to be able to see things that are representative of so many different places, it can be so important when brought to your tiny town.
Everybody is so kind and loving. I'm here in Buffalo just because of State Buffalo.
From urban farms to rural fairs, we'll celebrate spaces that bring us together and create community.
Watch on the Buffalo Toronto Public Media YouTube channel.
From your morning commute to quiet evenings at home, Buffalo Toronto Public Media is always there with trusted news, inspiring stories, and timeless music. It's your connection to a world of wonder. This is Public Media.
Hey, welcome back to Skin in the Game. This is John Simperman with my co-host,
Tim Olshai.
Tim, great conversation with Rob Perez. Really interesting stuff they're doing down in the Virginia market, and it sounds like we might see it up here in Southern Ontario and Buffalo at some point.
Yeah, Buffalo, Toronto, we hope Toronto, but Rochester. It was, you didn't have to read too much between the lines to see where they're looking, but yeah, that would be great to get it here. And I thought it was really cool how they stumbled into this. And,
yeah.
You know, I mean, it came from a tragedy, right? Like honoring somebody passed on, the way they honored this former player, though.
Right.
You know, really sparked an idea that seems to be living on, right?
Right.
And that, and it's interesting when you think about the creativity behind this.
Yeah, well, I was really interested, and I'm glad you went there with, are these collegiate players or are these professionals? Because in most, if not all, you would know better than I, these collegiate wood bat leagues, the players are not paid. As a matter of fact, the players
pay. They pay to be part of it, yeah.
So this is what much more of a for-profit venture, like the Savannah Bananas, like other, you know, these leagues, they're actually paying the players to, quote unquote, perform.
And I've got to think too, John, there is a skill level that is required that you're not going to find in every player who can play collegiate league baseball. And these, you know, these guys are good athletes, right? They're really good athletes. Being really good at playing traditional baseball does not mean you can play it in the dark. I mean,
right.
This is essentially glow-in-the-dark baseball. You've got to have a flair for performing. I mean, your eyesight matters, but it doesn't surprise me they've got to go find a different and special set of players to do this.
Yeah.
And he made a point too, the social media presence that some of these guys bring, if not all, is really vital too.
It sounds like, and we didn't ask Rob, but you know, if we do get him back on here, we should, is, you know, do the players have any quote unquote skin in the game? Meaning, you know, if they're leveraging their social media presence, you know, do they get a percentage of the box office, the gate? What's the incentive for those players to really push out the content? So that would be an interesting question. I'd venture to guess they are in some way vested in the success of cosmic baseball.
You know, along those lines of what can an athlete do by building a platform as a baseball entertainer. It was interesting. I was joking with him, of course, like how Rob didn't want to say the words Savannah Bananas out loud. You know, it makes me wonder like how much competition.
Yeah, I don't think it is competition. And here's why. Savannah Bananas, have outgrown minor league baseball parks.
Yeah, they sure
Savannah
have.
Savannah Bananas are filling up NASCAR stadiums, NASCAR racetracks with 80, 90,000 people. They just played a game, I believe, in the home of the Carolina Panthers. So I don't see them as competition there. I think, and Rob did allude to it, they kind of help pave the way for what I'm going to brand. You heard it here on Skin of the Game, improv sports. They've kind of helped lead the way with improv sports. And like right now, here in Buffalo, you could not host the Savannah Bananas. It happened years past, but you know they don't have a stadium big enough. Cosmic Baseball is going to fill a great, great hole in a lot of these minor league, say 10 to 20,000 seat venues.
Yeah, which is great. And I'm glad, by the way, on the topic of improv sports, to use your term, that you paid homage to the original team. At least I think they're the original, the Harlem Globetrotters.
Oh, no, I'm a Washington Generals fan.
You would be. No. Somebody's got to be. No, I, okay. So, sorry, quick tangent. Yeah, seriously, like the Washington Generals, nobody ever gives those guys credit.
That's right.
They're, you know, they're out there playing every game and, you know what, being the straight guy to the slapstick humor, right? But from the Globetrotters and then, you know, Bill Veeck, which, you know, for people out there, if you know the name, you know what I'm talking about. If not, you know, really the
and
original.
If not, read the book. Veeck as in wreck.
Incredible book, right? Yes. And if you have any interest in sports business or working in sports business, go read it. But this is a guy who knew how to take a sport of baseball and then turn it into something that was just hilariously entertaining. But it's cool to see the Savannah Bananas out there doing it now. Rob Perez and the Tri-County Chili Peppers.
Yeah.
Have you checked out their merch, by the way?
I have not, but just think about it. Not only are they selling the tickets and filling up the buildings, but in order for the fan to really be immersed in the experience, they also need to buy the hat, buy the jersey, the rally towel. It's pretty darn brilliant.
It sure is. Yeah. And I mean, and you can go buy this stuff online too, of course, without the black lights. It's not going to quite look the same. But yeah, they've got essentially two lines of merch, the regular line for regular baseball and the glow in the dark line. So, you know, as you think about the business model with improv sports, when you start adding in technology like this, you know, black light technology, very simple technology, right? It opens up a whole line of revenue.
Right, right. And that's, you know, that's really innovative, these guys, to create this sport. It was funny, too, Tim, when we alluded to or asked the question, can quote-unquote global translate to other sports? And I was looking at you, how excited you were when he brought up flag football.
Flag football, right.
So that's really cool that can translate. And I could actually see how it could translate to just about any sport. I mean, just visualize, of all of our listeners here, visualizing also the sport of basketball with a glow-in-the-dark ball. The rims are glowing, you know, some cool black light around the three-point line and the foul line. That could be really cool.
Yeah, you really could translate this to almost any sport. And I keep coming down too to, you know, from the player experience, how easy is it to transition, right? And for the fan experience, can you actually follow what's going on? This was the tiniest of details, John, but I thought it was interesting that for Rob himself, and apparently for a lot of fans, it's actually easier to follow physically with their eyes Cosmic Baseball.
Well, I'll tell you a funny story. Remember in the NHL when Fox had the glowing blue puck, which a lot of hockey fans did not like. So that lasted.
That didn't last long, I remember.
But I do recall going to an NHL game and listening to a young fan say, "Hey, Dad, how come the puck isn't glowing here?" Because they were so used to it.
Supposed to be.
They were so used to it from watching it on television. So, you know, that's interesting. And it is interesting that you could actually see the baseball fly over the fence easier than, you know, in a traditional game. So that was pretty exciting. But I think what professional sports needs is a little less analytics, artificial intelligence, trying to predict fan behaviors, and a little bit more Bill Veeck, a little bit more fun. And the story, you know, what Bill Veeck did as an owner, he would spend afternoons in the bleachers having a beer with the fans. That's where he got his inspiration. That was his artificial intelligence, was listening to the fans for what's the idea, what's the promotion, what can we do better? I think all professional sports leadership needs to spend more time in the grandstand with the fans and less time in the conference room.
Absolutely agreed. And I wonder too if something that's certainly not new, but I think more prevalent in the way that front offices are thinking, and that is social media, not on the part of the players or the team, but on the part of the fans, right? We've talked a lot about Instagrammable moments, TikTok videos, where, of course, the Savannah Bananas have really exploded, made their way, right? They've exploded from it. So I wonder if, you know, that consumer-generated content really is helping encourage more teams to do things that are just, you know, back to the basics and more entertaining, like kind of taking 2025 and bringing it back to the days decades ago of Bill Veeck, where you just really truly entertain people.
Right. Absolutely. I think you're starting to see more of that. You know, what I'm seeing in specifically Major League Baseball is, you know, how they're focusing on that. We've talked about it, that Instagrammable food moments, right? We talked to our friends with the Blue Jays. We've talked to our friends with the Guardians, and they are focused on it. So I think it's slowly coming back. And I think part of it, in some crazy little way, is they've seen the success of the Savannah Bananas. You know, they're now seeing the emergence of Glowball with the Cosmic Chili Peppers, right? So I think little things like that raise the bar, and they open up the eyes to the team executive saying, hey, we got to get a little bit more creative here. Because again, there's only so many dollars a family has to go out to an event, and they might want to go watch Banana Ball instead of going watch the Major League team. So I think it's going to raise the bar for everyone.
Yeah, the competition pushes it. And one other thought before we wrap up, something you and I have talked about a lot, starting with Will Bardenwerper and his book Homestand, where he spent that season with the Batavia Muck Dogs. What is the impact of Major League Baseball cutting down on the number of minor league baseball teams? Now, if you're Will Bardenwerper, people can go back and listen to the episode. That was a really bad thing. It's a really unfortunate thing. And you can make a great case for that, right? On the, maybe not on the flip side, but one of the spinoffs, though, and Rob Perez made this clear, is it's really opened the door for a lot of creativity on the part of the, you know, the smaller leagues.
The independent leagues.
Yeah, whether they're independent, collegiate, but the unaffiliated leagues to really go out and do bigger things.
That's right. I guess when one door closes, another opens. I thought, Tim, today's episode of Skin of the Game was a really good kind of balance between our episode with Will and how, you know, that those are some really deep discussions on what was the demise and then the rise of the Muck Dogs. And I think this conversation today with Rob kind of looked at the other side of it was, hey, you know, a couple of these independent leagues, in this case, the Coastal League, they've had an opportunity to fill some gaps. And because, and you brought this point up, because they don't have the Major League Baseball restrictions, they can actually get a little bit more creative and way outside the box.
Yeah, I mean, which is maybe not a bad thing. You know, I'm still wrestling with it, but, you know, it is what it is. And we do know this. There are a lot more people now being entertained by baseball in a lot more ways than there were a few years ago. A lot of that is Major League Baseball changing the rules and making the games go faster and viewership being up. But the Savannah Bananas, the Tri-City Chili Peppers, they're playing a big role in that too.
That's right. So Rob Perez, thank you for joining us here on Skin in the Game, and look forward to getting everybody back here on upcoming episodes.
And remember, you know, whether you're a fan of a team or a fan of sports or just a resident of this region, we all have skin in the game.
See you next week, everybody.
This is a production of Buffalo Toronto Public Media.
Thanks for listening.